Good evening, my dear friend. I've been expecting you. I hope that your journey was not too hurried. The robes know not what to do with such rain, and I dare say that the horses do not either.
Well, I cannot say that I've never had pleasanter expeditions, but I would gladly bear worse if it meant that I could keep your good company for longer.
I am quite certain that my countenance is more favorable when it is in the presence of your own. So, the gratitude is rightly mine. But I suggest we save any more affirmations for the fireside. Come in now, before you get your chill. There now. Would you care for some tea?
That would be lovely. Thank you.
Splendid.
It's as wonderful as always. And well worth the cold journey to be warmed so.
I have no doubt as to that. However, my mind is curious about the moment of your crossing. You wrote with such urgency that I assume that you must have been requesting a conversation about your impending nuptials.
Yes, I'm afraid that I cannot attest otherwise. I had hoped your experience might help in that regard.
Well, my match is not without woe, but few are perfect. On the whole, I consider it to be successful. My husband treats me kindly and rarely asks for more than I can provide. And I know that yours is equally good. If you have nerves, it might be best to ease them. I believe that you have paired well.
Oh, I harbor no fear that the match is poor. His disposition is gentle, much like my own, and his company is agreeable. I'm afraid that I'm concerned with a more private matter.
Or perhaps a more base one.
I...
Honestly, darling, there is no sense in fearing such topics. You are far from the first bride to fret about such a thing. And the afflictions of lust are ones that are best addressed with candor. After all, as prideful as our appetites might be, they will not find their target without a mind's proper understanding of the circumstances.
I am not a child. I have such an understanding. Although I have remained pure, the subject is not so foreign to me that I am unprepared for consumption. I simply worry that knowledge lacks most of its excellence without practice. Surely you must recognize that one can know all the keys on a piano without being able to play a single note.
Yes, and what a worst place the world might be if a lady should be sinned if she touched a piano before she were wed.
Yes, I have no doubt that practicality and morality rarely align as one would want them to. But nonetheless, my virtue still preys upon my duty. And I know not how to solve it.
Well, if it is his satisfaction that you seek, you needn't worry. If he has remained true, he will be more than pleased with you. A woman pays with blood for her purity, but a man is only punished by alacrity. You will scarcely have time to lie before you will feel him start to quake.
And what if he has not remained true?
Do you truly think so ill of him?
No, but purity will leave us both once we are wed. We will pay our debts, and his quickness will leave him. Just as I will not bleed again. What then? Shall I lie just as before, and pretend not to mind his slower countenance?
You claim to be wise, but do you not know of your own pleasure, darling?
My own? I'm only concerned with his. It is my duty.
Oh, you poor soul. If you view pleasure as your duty, then neither of you shall have it. Such a thing only comes when it is wanted, and not when it is owned.
Then... ought I to want it?
Yes, for its own sake. Not for him, or else it is not truly wanting it.
But I have never longed for such things.
Well, you cannot expect to long for what you have never truly known. I have not yet heard of a soul who asked for a pie before he tasted it. Once you have been touched by lust, you will come to crave it deeply.
But what if I am never touched by it? I have heard such is a common problem for the fairer sex. Perhaps I'm of that kind. Then I will never share his passion.
I have no doubt as to your vitality. As meek as you are always the lively sort. But I should be delighted to evaluate your readiness if it should put your mind at ease.
Are you suggesting?
You know perfectly well what I imply. But I shall drop the matter if you wish.
Oh, no. I must be honest. I'm intrigued by the proposition, but it seems untoward. I must not tempt myself.
Worry not. In his eyes, you will still be untouched. Men are unbothered by the affairs of women. As long as we serve no other of them, then we may serve each other freely. For I cannot claim you as he can.
Are you certain?
Well, it is hardly a new tradition. One's hands do often wander on quiet afternoons. You would know it already if you were not so gentle in spirit.
I ought to consider your words a kindness, but they do vex me. I suppose there is only one way to know if I am only gentle.
A very logical choice. Shall we get you undressed?
Well, I am fair-natured. I'm not sure that I have the strength to weather the shade of scarlet that nakedness brings.
Oh, be sensible. Bright cheeks only mean a happy heart. However, if it pleases you, I shall remove mine first. I have heard that light company is a proper cure for embarrassment.
That helps, although I know not how. But please, only undress if it is your wish. I should hate to have you shiver on my account.
I assure you that if your spirit is warmed, then my body will be as well. As I have said, this is hardly the first request of this sort that I have honored, and I highly doubt that it will be the last.
Might I assist you, then?
The dress I can manage, but if you could help me with the corset.
Certainly. Oh, you've tied it so tightly.
Pain is a sacrifice we make, darling. You know that.
Yes, although I know not why men call us weak for such suffering.
I do. But best shut your mouth and move your fingers. I'm afraid the temptation to breathe properly has become too great.
They are so moved, and your bosom is freed.
Excellent. Please, hurry and help with my petticoat before my little man-trap gets jealous. There. That little eye of mine can taste the cold air. I'm glad. It was very much needed.
Oh, it looks so charming. I could never have imagined such a thing.
Were you never curious?
Any inquisitiveness on my part was greatly outweighed by my unwillingness to be foolhardy.
Oh, dear. It is far more rash to fear one's own body than to admire it. Otherwise, you only live in ignorance of yourself.
Well, at least I am no longer so sinned. You look marvelous.
Oh, I am no goddess, but I am fine enough for the eyes of men, I suppose. In your eyes, though. Perhaps you might care for a more intimate examination.
My mind only gives contradictions.
Well then, listen to your fingers instead. What might they say?
They desire nothing more than to tease it.
Then for my sake, let them.
Very well. I shall.
Good. Now, gentle dear, graze it as you might graze your lashes. It requires a soft touch.
Like petting a dog?
If you like, but do not thump it like a horse.
Oh, it is weeping. Is it sad?
Oh. No, darling. It cries only when it is lustful.
But no man has tempted you.
Oh, true. But you have, my dear.
Me?
Yes. You have always had a certain charm, and oh, your fingers do enchant me so.
Oh, my dear friend, I must assure you that our feelings are equal and kind. I long to enchant you.
Yes, that is very good, darling. But at the moment, please speak with your palm and not your mouth.
Oh, but how will I do it?
Oh, do not worry. You have already won it. Simply quicken your grip.
How is it?
Oh. Wonderful. Keep going. Do not ease your touch.
Oh, yes, darling.
Nearly there now. Soon it will truly weep.
Yes, I will make it. Oh, I will make it. Oh my. Is it as wonderful as my ears tell me?
Oh, it is more so than one can ever hear. Oh, thank you, dear.
You are a kind friend. I hope that I have honored you so.
Oh, darling. You have certainly pleased me, but I never requested such honor. If you will recall, I only suggested that you ought to discover yourself.
Oh, did I not engage properly?
The heavens, no. While your mind was born pure, your fingers know how to seek lust. I merely mean to imply that, though your engagement has been wondrous in terms of vivacity, it has not been nearly enough in kind.
Well, shall I please you more?
No, I shall please you. After all, your question is still left unanswered, and I should rather like to know that I have bet correctly.
Oh, but my body could never hold such passion. I'm certain that it might break.
It will not. Pleasure does test the mind, but it livens the body. And you do wish to honor me, do you not?
Yes. Yes. And far, far more than I fear the embarrassments of my flesh.
Then let me have you.
Oh, I shall. Please give me a moment to undress. I don't wish for your help. Your touch will only make me cowardly again.
Fine, fine. I will heed your warning. But do hurry, for I am eager.
And you already wear nothing but impertinence. I shall be quick, though. There, see? I am no longer hidden.
Neither by clothes nor by shyness.
Yes, but if you find fault with my form, then the latter shall conceal me once more.
Oh, darling. I could never. Your husband is quite a lucky man, indeed.
He has yet to know my body.
Yes, but he shall remember the moment well, as I will remember this one.
Well, if your mind has the image, ease your gaze. I cannot bear it much longer.
If my eyes displease you, might you enjoy my tongue?
Well, I suppose it might depend on what words it would utter.
It will speak none.
Then how might it please me?
Just as your hand did.
Is such a thing with nature?
Our nature, yes. Do not you crave for it?
I do.
Then be good, and lie still.
Yes, for your honor, I will obey.
It will be your honor shortly.
But for the touch of your lips. Oh, I've never known such a feeling. No. I will not fear it. It is too wondrous to fear. I have never longed for anything until I knew this. Oh, please do not stop. Do not stop, I beg of you. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. Oh, I'm going to break. Am I still here? Or have I ascended?
If you have, I hope not so much so that you never shall again.
Oh, surely something so exceptional must only happen once.
Careful, dear. You've already underestimated yourself once. Twice would do shame to our purpose. You now know your capacity. Take it into your marriage with confidence.
But what of his pleasure?
He will know how to service himself, but you must teach him of your own proclivities. With time, your satisfaction will come to heighten his.
But what if his tongue is unwilling?
If he is generous in spirit, then it will not be.
And if he is selfish?
I doubt it to be true, as I believe that you matched well. However, should his inner nature not match his appearance, then I shall serve you. And you may take the passion that I give to you to delight him.
Truly.
I should not mind in the slightest. Our time has done my soul good. I should be happy to have it again.
Might we even if he is virtuous?
I had hoped that would be your wish, and I should delight in nothing more.